I want to bring a message this evening. And that's years and years and years ago, I brought a message along these lines called a 7-mile walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. 7-mile walk. But really, believers not only have a 7-mile walk with Him, but they have a lifelong walk with Him. Enoch walked with God. But there was two men that our Lord Jesus took a 7-mile walk with. They began to walk together, and there's a 7-mile walk. I wouldn't mind on my earthly pilgrimage to have the Lord Jesus to be walking along with me for 7 miles talking. It's been a wonderful experience. But now let me read. I've got several scriptures to read, and let me read them to you. Starting first of all at verse 13. And behold, two of them. Now this is after John and Peter and Mary had all went to the tomb, found the tomb empty. And they didn't know what in the world was going on. They just thought the tomb was empty. The angel said he's not here, that he appeared to them later. And they just couldn't bring themselves to believe that he is risen. And on this same day, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which is about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, that's Peter and John, and found it even so as the women had said. But him, Jesus of Nazareth, they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh my, I wasn't there, but I found out the conversation that took place. I know what happened. Scriptures tells us. But if you look at these two disciples and what has just taken place, you can just imagine what's going through their mind. In fact, Peter wondered himself at that which had come to pass after he went to the tomb. And our Lord's appearance to these two disciples was on the same day that he arose from the grave. That same day, they started on to a village named Emmaus. And this, without a doubt, they were fearful, they were sad, they were confused, they were hurt. All their expectations for the future, which once was very, very great, as far as they're concerned, they're gone. They're lost. They're nothing. They had based their whole future, on this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who died in disgrace on a cross 3 days earlier. And they had heard that the Lord had risen from the dead, but they didn't believe it. They were there when Mary came and told them that I just saw some angels. And they said the Lord wasn't there, that He was risen. She run in and told all of them that had gathered together for fear of the Jews. And Peter and John ran out there and she went back with them. And they came back and said, yes, she's right. She said, the Lord's not there. But they didn't believe. None of them believed. It says in verse 11 here, and their word seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. As idle tales. Was there any reason, you know, it'd be like me and you. You talking to me and I say, well, that's a lie. That don't amount to nothing what you're saying. That's the way they treated one another over this business of our Lord rising from the dead. But here they are. They're walking and talking. Two men walking together. Cleopas is one of them. And his name is Alpheus if you look at him in another place. And here they are walking and talking. And here they are on this 7-mile walk. And as they walked and talked together, look what happened. In verse 14, they had a 7-mile walk, so as they walked 7 miles, and I'm sure they weren't walking fast. Probably take them 2 hours, 2.5 hours to walk that length. Just walking along and talking, leisurely walking, going home. That's where they lived. And it says that they talked together of these things which had happened. They talked about what had been happening the last few days. What was the things they talked about? Well, they talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and His death. They talked about how it had happened. How that, it's what did they say over here? That how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him. They saying how He had died. They was talking about His death. Why would He die? Why did they deliver Him to death? Why did they hate Him so? How did it happen? And then they start talking about, you know, remember those miracles that happened when He crucified Him there? The sun got dark. And it got real dark as if the sun didn't even shine. And remember there that the rocks just began to break in two? And they said that the veil went in two in the temple that day? Oh my! They began to talk about His death and all the miracles and wonders that surrounded it. And the way that He was treated. And there's no doubt that they themselves were ashamed of their actions by not standing up for their Master. Not going with Him. Not following Him close. Not defending Him. Not standing up and not being identified with Him. They no doubt were walking and talking and were ashamed of themselves. And they talked about His resurrection. They said they came and told us that He was that He wasn't in the tomb. That the angel said He is risen. But was it really so? They said, how in the world can a man rise again from the dead? How could he be alive? We saw him dead. We saw him taken down. We went to the tomb where he was buried. So how in the world could it be possible that he is risen from the dead? How can we believe such a preposterous thing? Men who are dead just don't come back to life. He was dead, he was buried, but they went and saw his tomb empty. They talked among themselves, what does it all mean? And I tell you, they were probably going to give up the cause of Christ. They didn't see no reason to carry on. Look down here in verse 21 of Luke 24, verse 21. But we had trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, is today is the third day since these things were done. We thought He was going to be the one, but evidently He's not. So you know there's no reason for us to carry on. There's no reason. But here they were talking about the Lord Jesus, reasoning among themselves. And look what happens here in verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together, talked together, communicated together, and reasoned. See, they're reasoning things out. They're talking about His death. They're talking about all the things that He had done. All the things they had seen Him done. How all their hopes was. And His resurrection. And the things that they had seen. And the things that they had talked about. And they saw His tomb. And they were reasoning these things out. What could this mean? What could all these things mean? Why was He dying? Why did He rise again? What did God mean? How in the world could He be the Messiah? We saw Him do all those miracles. And they're walking along there reasoning these things out. And while they'd done this, the Scripture said, our Lord Himself drew near and went with them. Oh, You're walking along and the Lord Jesus Christ walks up to you. It's kind of like, you know, that man sitting in his, the Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot. All of a sudden he's sitting there reading, and all of a sudden there's a man standing beside him, walking along beside him, saying, "Do you understand what you're reading? Where do you come from?" You know, the Lord, he's going to be where his people are. And oh my, there they are. And that's what the scriptures mean. You know, they that spake often one to another, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, the Lord heard them. And the scripture said a book of remembrance was written. Yeah. Remember, I just preached on that a few weeks ago. And oh my, the Lord heard them, and he listened down and talked, and he drew near. He drew near. And let me tell you something here about this. Now I want you to notice this. In their communing and reasoning together, as they talked about him, what they were actually doing was searching for him, trying to come to some conclusions about him, about their faith in him and their hopes in him. That's what they were talking about. That's what they were communing about. They were reasoning the things concerning him. Concerning him. And oh my, they talked about all the things that had happened. And here they was, and they were sad, and they talked to him. And they talked of him to get a clearer and a greater knowledge of him. And that's what people do. When we talk about Christ, and we talk about him with one another, and we question one another about him, why we do that is to get a clearer and greater knowledge of him. You know, when we begin talking one another about the Lord, the things of the Lord, we get clearer and greater understandings and knowledge about it. That's what we ask for. That's what we learn for. And that's what we do. We talk about this. What did it mean by this? And what did that mean? And what did this first scripture mean? And that's what we're doing. We're learning. That's what they were doing. By talking about him, they wanted a clearer and a greater knowledge of him. And that's what we try to do. And they were trying to figure out what had happened. And beloved, we know what happened. And we live by faith and not by sight. But wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he said he'd be in the midst. And here's two men walking alone. And our Lord Jesus drew near to them. And they were talking about him. And in talking about him, they were trying to reason out what it all meant. What it all meant. And then look what happened here. But their eyes were holding that he should not know them. See, he was a stranger to them. He was a stranger to them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And here's the thing about it. They went, nobody, absolutely nobody, knew the Lord. All of his disciples, none of them knew who he was until he made himself known to them. When he appeared unto them in the upper room, it scared them teetotally to death. They thought he was a ghost, thought he was still. They didn't know who he was. There was just a man standing there in their midst, and he said, "It's I. It's me. Touch me." So the only way in the world he could walk along with these men, he could sit with a man, talk with a man, talk with Mary, and Mary didn't recognize him, thought he was the gardener. The only way, and the only people he ever did see him after his resurrection was his people as he made himself known to them. And the only people that he manifests himself to in this world now since his resurrection is his people. He only reveals himself to them. And there's many times that we gather around and our eyes don't see him. Our eyes don't behold him. But every once in a while he'll be pleased to come along right up beside of us. And he'll say something, he'll speak something, a verse of scripture will open up, somebody will say something, and you'll say, "That's the Lord." But he was a stranger to them. It says in verse 16, their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And all down in verse 18, it said, and one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and not know the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Are you a stranger? This is the one that happened to, and they didn't know it. And oh, beloved, when our faith is weak, when we give in to reason, when we give in to carnal reason, we can't see his. When we can't see his face, we don't feel his presence. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you this, and I know it without a shadow of a doubt. He is still near. We just don't know it. There's never a time that he's not near. Never a time that he's not with us. There's a time that we don't feel it. There's a time we're not aware of it. There's a time we're not conscious of it. There's a time when we don't have the peace of it. But there's never a time when he's not there. Mary stood crying like a whipped baby, looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was talking to him and supposed him to be the gardener. Said, just tell me where he's at and I'll go get him. And finally he said, Mary. And calmed her heart right down. He was right there with her, but she didn't see it. She didn't know. And no matter what condition we're in, no matter how weak our faith, no matter how much we reason things out, and things happen that we cannot find answers to, one thing we know, whether we cannot feel His presence, we can rest assured that He is always there.
Amen.
Always there.
Amen.
He is right there with us. And in fact, the Scripture says, in all their afflictions was He afflicted. And the Scripture says, tells us in Hebrews 4:14 that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And let me tell you some things that keep us from seeing Him. You know, a lot of times we don't see, but the reason is, it's in us. It's not in Him. The reason's in us. If we don't see Him, the fault's in us. 9 out of 10 times. First of all, unbelief. Unbelief and carnal reasoning. That'll hide His face from us. We won't be able to see Him. He'll be right there by us. And our unbelief and our carnal reasoning. How can this be? What's this going on? Why is this happening? And our unbelief and carnal reasoning. He'll be right there beside us. We won't know He's there. That's what they were doing. They were communicating and reasoning together about the things that happened. But they didn't see the Lord. And doubt. Being in doubt. These fellows were in great doubt. We thought that this should be He. Lord, we thought that You'd do it this way. Lord, we thought we don't think You should have done it that way. Lord, why would You do this? And why would You let this happen? And why would You in doubt? And when the more He delays in coming to our presence, the more doubt it brings. The longer we go without seeing His presence, the more doubt we have. It produces doubt. And then discouragement. You all don't never have this problem. Discouragement. You get discouraged and you... Oh boy, that ain't nothing to me. I don't know why the Lord would even want to be around me. You get discouraged and you say, boy, ain't much to me. When you get down... That's a bad place to be. But He's still there. He's still there. And then we have feelings. Our feelings. You know, when we start looking within for evidence of His presence, we've done looked the wrong place. When you start looking for evidence of the Lord being with you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're going to be in real trouble. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why, you know, like old Scott Richardson said, I've heard him say it so many times, like that woman, she said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Sometimes all He'll give us is a crumb, but that crumb will carry us so long and carry us so far. And we're so grateful for it, just to have that crumb. Because we understand how blessed and how precious it is to have the Lord's presence, to receive something from His hands. But we have these feelings, and we start looking for evidence within. Old Martin Luther said this, and I love this. I love it. You ought to write this down in your Bible sometime. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. Oh my, ain't that right? I'll tell you another reason why we sometimes it keeps us from seeing sin. Sin. Sin in ourselves. Sin separates us from God. Sin condemns us. Sin hides His face from us. And I'll tell you another reason. And the only thing you can do when you have sin, you know you've sinned, and you know you've done it. There's no way you can do it and not know it. The only thing you can do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And help me not to do that again. And then laziness. You know laziness will hide His face from us. Huh? We're just too lazy to seek Him. Just too lazy to look for Him. Too lazy to read His Word. Too lazy to attend the services. Too lazy to go worship. Too lazy to pick up the Bible. Too lazy to get off and go pray. And then another reason we oftentimes don't see Him and know when He's near, we get too busy. We just get too busy. Too busy to gather with God's people. Too busy, too many eggs, too many fish to fry, other places to go and other things to do. Too busy to gather with God's people to hear Him and to talk with Him and talk of Him. Oh, get too busy. When you're too busy to gather the Lord's people, you're just too busy. You need to back up and find out where you're coming from. You need to find out what in the world's going on with your heart and life when you get too busy to gather the Lord's people. And when you stay too tired to gather with the Lord's people. Now, ain't that right? You really need to... Well, Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not. And here he says in providence, God's providence sometimes hides His face from us. God hides Himself from us, and though He's near, but He hides Himself where we can't see Him, and He orders it for our good. It's our good, so that we will seek Him, talk about Him, commune with Him, search for Him. And then, of course, there's trials of faith that hide His face from us. But now look at the talk between our Lord and His disciples. Here in verse 17, it says this. And our Lord starts the communication with them. He asks them a question. He starts the communication with them. Now He knows exactly what's going on with these men. He knows where they are. He knows what's going on with them. And He said unto them in verse 17, what manner of communications are these? Now watch this. That you have one to another as you walk in your sin. What are you talking about? What is going on with you that's making you so sad? You know, you look at somebody and say, boy, they sure look sad. Wonder what's the matter with them. Well, that's what these fellas were talking. They just talked themselves down into the awful funk and the awful lowness, the sadness. They just kept talking until they got so low that nobody could help them but the Lord. And that's what I tell you, a discouraged person, all they're fit for is to discourage somebody else. Ain't that right? When you get discouraged, I guarantee you, if you can have a chance, you'll discourage somebody else. When you get down, if you ain't careful, you'll get somebody right down with you. And that's what these fellas done. They just talked and talked and talked. The more they talked, the lower they got. But oh my. What are you talking about that makes you so sad? Why are we sad sometimes? Well, I tell you, when He ain't present, it's time to be sad. And He questions our unbelief. Why are you so sad? What are you talking about making you so sad? And I'll tell you this much about the Lord's people. They're always sad and grieved over their unbelief. Sad and grieved over their reactions to trials in God's providence. Let me ask you, have you ever said, whenever you've tried or God's providence hit His face for you, or you're sad over something happened, have any of you ever said, boy, I took that real well. I handled that real well. I'm really proud of myself. I went through that trial with flying colors. I handled that real good. That unbelief and you grieved over it, you said, whoa, boy. No, that's not the way. That's not the way we are. Our Lord, and I'll tell you something about our blessed Savior. He cares about our sadness. He cares about the condition of our hearts, the conditions of our minds. That's why He said for us to look to Him and to learn of Him and to come to Him and to trust Him and study Him. Because it's when we care about Him and then seeking Him and studying about Him and hear about Him, that's the thing that helps us our sadness and drives away our sadness. That's the only thing that will. I never have understood folks when they get in trouble, spiritual trouble, or get spiritually weak, or get sad, or get confused. I never have understood why they stay away from services. Well, that's just exactly where I need to be when I'm in trouble. When I'm sad, I want to be with the Lord's people. And there's oftentimes I'll get that way and I won't let anybody know, but I'll call a preacher, I'll call somebody and I'll talk to them. And I won't tell them what's going on. I'll just call them and talk to them. And in a little while, they got me up. They start talking about the scripture or something. They get me up. And that's the only way in the world. And then the Lord actually, and believe me, I'm telling you the honest God's truth. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about our sadness. You say, oh, nobody cares about my sadness. Nobody knows my sadness. Yes, somebody does. The Lord knows. And the Lord cares. He said, nobody understands my trial. Nobody understands what I'm going. Yes, yes, they do. The Lord does. He understood where these men were. He understood where Mary was. That's why he said, Mary, it's me. That's why when he appeared among the disciples, he said, it's me. It's me. And how many times would go through the scripture sometime and read where the scripture says, be of good cheer. They were afraid. They were full of unbelief. And how many, just go through the New Testament one of these times, get your concordance, and go through and see how many times the Lord said, be of good cheer. Well, I'm fixed to sink. Be of good cheer. I'm not going to let you drown. The ship's going to fall to pieces. Be of good cheer. God's going to save every one of you. Oh, there's a storm coming, Lord. We're going to drown. Be of good cheer. You're not going to drown. Oh, my. How many times? It's always. And oh, my, when we understand. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. We've got this old flesh, and that's what these men were dealing with, their flesh, their unbelief, their doubts, their confusion, their hurt, their sadness. But when all these things are going on, I believe me, the Lord Jesus Christ is right there. And you may not even be conscious of it. But it's because He's there that you're able to go on. And oh my, look what happens now. You see, they had reason to rejoice instead of walking along in sadness here. Christ had risen. They'd been told that the Lord had risen. They'd been told that the tomb was empty. They'd been told that, yes, Mary come and said, the Lord's not there. John went down there and looked in, and Peter not only looked in, he went in. Come out and said, he's not there. And there laid his clothes. He come back and told said, his clothes is there, but he's not. Oh, they had every reason in the world to rejoice. They found an empty tomb. But they were sad and sorrowful because they didn't believe their brethren. They didn't believe He had risen. And being sad, they communed with each other. And we ought to do this. This is a good thing for us. When you get sad sometimes, if you ain't got nobody to talk to, call me. Call me. I'll talk to you. Call Mary. She'll get you up. She'll get you up. And I tell you, this is the way most folks get people to feel better. When they call and tell them, you know, that they're worried about something, sad about something, they start talking about all their troubles. And you say, boy, you know, they worship my answer. Well, I'll see you next time. Isn't that the way it happens? But oh, when we do get sad, commune with one another. You know, don't keep it to yourself. Call somebody. Talk to somebody. Somebody will listen. Somebody cares. And the Lord Jesus does. And we ought to commune with one another when we're sad. It becomes us to talk of Christ. And I do know this. If our hearts were more full of Christ, our mouths would be more full of Christ too. And then look at their reply to His question. He says, what is it that you're talking about that makes you so sad one to another? And they said, well, you're a stranger in these parts. And they began to answer Him. What's what they done? As they began to answer Him, they actually preached the Lord Jesus Christ and His work and His person. It always says in verse 19, and He said unto them, and He asked them another question, what things has come to pass here in these days? And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He is a prophet. He is a prophet. Oh, man, what a prophet. He was mighty indeed. Oh, the deeds that He'd done were incredible. And word, oh, His preaching. He was mighty in word before God Himself and before all the people. Oh my, what a prophet He was. Oh, the deeds He'd done and how God approved of Him and how God blessed Him and how God used Him. And then, oh my, and then they began not only to do that, they began to talk about what happened to him, what happened, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. He told them over and over again, I must go up to Jerusalem. I must be delivered into the hands of men. I must die. And oh, beloved, look what he did. Oh my, they condemned him to death. And there's what they said. And we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. We understood that he's the Redeemer. They understood that redemption could only be accomplished through bloodshedding, through sacrifice. And they didn't understand it all yet. And then on top of all this, this is the third day since all this happened. And oh my, and he began to tell, they just went from the start to finish. And yes, I'm telling you, there are certain women also of our company. They have made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they got there, they didn't find his body. And they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels and said that he was alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You seek Jesus of Nazareth? Behold, he's not here. He's risen. And oh my. Down in verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, Peter and John, and found it even so as the women had said. Found it even so. But him they saw not. They rehearsed the gospel and didn't know that it was the gospel yet. Ain't that amazing? And ain't that what people do if you get them started talking? And they're down and they're sad and they're discouraged. You get them start talking in a little while. They are telling you the gospel from start to finish. They're talking about Christ and what he accomplished, what he did, things that they've learned from other people. And I tell you, he reveals himself to us in our dark hours. Look what he says in verse 25. And the first thing he does is he rebukes their unbelief. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Oh, unbelief is awful for us not to believe. He rebukes their unbelief first. O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that they've spoken. Huh? And how did he make himself known to them? Here's how he done it. Shouldn't you believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? If you had believed the prophets, you'd have knew this was going to happen. If you'd have heard the prophets and believed, I read there in Ezekiel 37 this morning where God said, I'll make a covenant of peace with them. And they'll be my people. My tabernacle shall come and dwell among them. And I'll be with them. And I'll be their people. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. And then he says, and beginning at Moses. Wonder what he started at in Moses. I wonder where he started. You reckon he started in Genesis 3:15 as being the woman's seed? And then you reckon he went from there to the ark? And then you reckon he went from the ark? And then he went to the burning bush? And then he went from the burning bush to the blood shedding and the lamb that was slain on the night of the Passover? And then he went down there and he started talking about Moses being that prophet that God would raise up, a prophet who would obey him and other things. And he went there and he started in Moses. And I don't know where he started, but he went all the way through Moses, the Psalms, the prophets. And he preached to them for probably an hour and a half or 2 hours. And them scriptures just rolling. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. It's about me. Told them what that tabernacle meant. Told them all about that mercy seat. Oh, my soul. He began to talk about himself and oh, my. And they got close to where they lived. And he was just going to go on. But they said, oh, no, 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 no. It's getting late. Getting late. Stay with us tonight. Stay with us. And so he went in to spend the evening with them. Now watch what he does. And I'll tell you something, beloved. In communing with us, you know how the Lord communes with us and reveals himself to us now? the same way he did those fellows, opening the scriptures to our understanding. He don't do it any different now than he did then. To say that the only way we're going to know him is for him to take the scriptures, ain't that right, Gary? And open to our understanding. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's the only way it's going to happen. And lo my, oh boy. Oh, when he began to preach to them, he said, oh, stay with us, stay with us. He was the guest, but look what happened. He was the guest. And it came to pass in verse 30, as he sat at meat with them. Now, he took the place of the head of the house. He's a guest. And it came to pass, as he sat with meat with them, he took the bread. They're sitting there, they got the food on the table, and he just took the place of the head of that home, and he took the bread, and he blessed it, gave thanks for it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and the minute it happened, they said, that's the Lord! That's the Lord! Oh my, they were there when the bread was broken, and their eyes were opened, and watch this, and they knew him. They knew me. They recognized you. And oh, how many times has that been that way with us? You know, we're going along with what was going on. Bam, there he is. Oh, that's the Lord. I see him. And oh, sometimes you'll be sitting and praying and reading the scriptures and he'll draw near and there he is and you see him and your heart just, oh, you just feel overjoyed. And oh my. Well, look what happens to him now. You see, His presence increases our love and our zeal and our faith. That's why the more time we spend with Him, the more time we see Him, the more time He draws near to us. And His very presence just stirs up our love and stirs up our zeal and stirs up our faith and stirs up our commitment to Him. And look how they acted after He revealed Himself. And He just ceased to be seen of. He is gone. He is just gone. Walked all that way with them and preached to them. They didn't know who it was until he sat down at the table and took the place and served them. He's the servant. Still waiting on his people. Still serving his people. Still feeding his people. Huh? Still feeding his people. And did they not, and look, they said one to another, did not our hearts, they started looking to one another and said, oh my, we just walking along. Well, now I know why our hearts burned within us. Now I know why our hearts was burning. And now I know why our hearts were stirred up. Now I know why that we were so stirred up as he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. Oh my. And oh boy, whenever he comes, we hear these preachers, like last weekend, we heard these preachers last Sunday morning. He preached on Naaman. Oh, my heart burned within me as he done that. Oh, Christ was seen clearly. Salvation seen how it was done. And then Bruce got up and said, why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you die? And showed us how we can have life. My heart burned within me as Christ opened the scriptures. And oh my, makes us want to go on, keeping the growth. Bruce said, remember, don't get weary in well-doing. I know you get tired and I know you get discouraged, but just keep on keeping on because you're such a blessing to other people. And that's what it was. Because the Lord, they saw the Lord and their hearts were open. Guess what they done? They went to tell somebody else. Their heart was so stirred up. Look what happens now. And they rose up the same hour. They just got through walking 7 miles. It was way up the evening. It was late. And they're going to turn around and go right back where they come from. And when they got there, they found the 11 together. And all the rest of them that were with them. And when they went in there, somebody said, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Just quick as they got there, said, the Lord's appeared to Simon. And then they began to tell. They began to tell others. And they said, they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And oh my, they told what they seen and what they heard. And here's what was done. They didn't compare notes with one another. They compared hearts with one another. They compared hearts with one another. They're about to quit, but they ain't no more quitting now. They've seen the Lord. There ain't no reason to be sad now. The sadness was gone. The clouds was gone. The heartache was gone. The confusion was gone. They had seen the Lord. And oh my, you know that, son. And that's all they'd done. They just went and said, you know, here's what he told us on the way. They sat right there and told the gospel to those men as they gathered there. And Simon Peter could say, you know, you saw him. I saw him too. He appeared to me. Simon Peter was the first one the Lord revealed himself to. He told Mary, he said, you go tell Peter and the brethren that I'll go before them in Galilee. And the first one, and he appeared to Simon Peter by himself the first time. That's what it said in 1 Corinthians 15. That's what it says there. Appeared to Simon. And these men, they sat there and they compared hearts and what it was like to see the Lord and have fellowship with the Lord. And while they were there, they no sooner got there and he showed up with them. They got in there and got to preaching to one another and got to telling what had happened to one another, and the next thing you know, the Lord's standing there among them. And he sits down and eats with them again. And they broke bread and fish and they had it there together again. So the next time you get sad, the next time you get hurt, the next time you get confused, the next time you get down, remember this. The Lord Jesus. Always there. Always there. Always there. Never fails to be there. Our blessed, blessed Savior. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for the privilege to gather here this afternoon, this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the saints that's gathered out. And please, O Lord, be gracious and kind and healing to Rebecca and Fran and Steve. Oh God, please meet the needs of these dear people. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.